action.
Well, hey there, movie kings and queens. Welcome to episode 20 of the Real Gay Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Lovins, and with me, as always, is the Supreme Court jester of this podcast, my co-host, Ryan Provost.
Oh, that was a thing. That was very quickly come up with, wasn't it?
You got it.
Oh, how are you doing, Mike? You had a long weekend.
I had a very long weekend, but it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. I got to see some people that I haven't seen in a long time, and yeah, so it was good.
That's always nice.
Yeah, very, very nice. So what about you? Did you do anything over the past weekend?
I mean, I worked a lot, and I went out a lot, so
a lot.
It made for a very interesting sleep cycle for me, for sure.
There you go. Well, if we have any listeners in Dayton, Ohio, I was in you this weekend.
Oh, in Dayton or in our Dayton listeners?
So let's move on.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey. So before we get into news, I just want to remind everybody, if you hadn't seen on our social media, but I did a quick little 2-minute video review of Sicario: Day of the Soldada. So it is on our YouTube channel if you want to go check that out.
Nice. Now, isn't soldado Spanish for salad?
Yes. It in fact, Sicario: Day of the Soldado actually means tossing of the salad.
See, that's the movie I want to see.
Well, let's go ahead and get into some newsreel. I got a couple things.
Got a couple things?
I got a couple things.
Throw it out there, Mike.
All right. So the first reactions are in for Teen Titans Go! The movie.
Cool. Sweet.
I gotta admit, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this
one. Of course you are.
Of course I am.
Of course you are.
So it is the theatrical DC animated movie, and it's actually getting some positive reviews.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So most people are reporting that the movie is very funny. It also finally sees Nick Cage play Superman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So obviously, some people might
know. They were able to get Nick Cage for this one?
Yeah, they were able
he wasn't
to,
too busy?
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, so Nick Cage had originally been cast to play Superman in Tim Burton's Superman Lives, but that movie never
saw. Wouldn't that have been the weirdest movie ever?
Yeah, did you ever see the pictures of him?
Oh, yeah, with the long hair.
Yeah.
And everything. That, man. And they criticized Zack Snyder for not being able to get all of
the mustache
out. That would have been quite a thing.
Yeah, that would have been.
That would have been such a bad movie.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that would have been truly terrible.
There's a documentary out there. I haven't seen it yet, but it's by a guy named John Schnepp.
I think I saw it.
The Death of Superman Lives.
Yeah, I think I saw it a few years ago. I think that's where I saw those pictures.
Okay.
Because... Yeah, I'm one of those people, we're talking about a documentary tonight.
Right.
And I actually, that's the thing I love watching on Netflix. If I'm just like scrolling through and looking for something, a lot of times I just settle on like a good documentary.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah, there was one about that was Back to the Future that I liked too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Tangent.
So Teen Titans.
Teen Titans.
Good movie. Apparently.
July 27th. Go see it. Okay. So the second thing is that Collider.com is reporting that John Kasdan has replaced David Cope as the writer on Indiana Jones 5.
Okay.
And the film was supposed to be released in 2019, and it's now been pushed back to 2020. So the interesting thing is, so David Cope wrote the screenplay for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Which was abysmal. And John Kasdan, just helped write the Solo movie for Lucasfilm. So
right.
It's kind of, and that wasn't received wholly well. So I'm kind of curious now to see if Lucasfilm is doing the right thing with this movie or not.
Yeah, I remember seeing Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and then I went to lunch. I was in college at the time. I went to lunch with my best friend, Daniel, who you've met.
Yeah.
And I was explaining the movie to him. Like, I was telling him, oh, yeah, Indiana Jones gets in a refrigerator to avoid a nuclear blast. And Daniel was all like, shut up, you're lying to me. Like, oh, and the big reveal at the end is it was aliens.
Right.
And there's, and Daniel is just losing his mind. He's like, you're shitting me. This isn't, he thought I was pulling his leg. And then he went and saw the movie, and I just got a text that said, fuck you, Ryan. it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, that's my thoughts on Indiana Jones 5. They could literally do anything. And at that point, I mean, Harrison Ford's going to be about the same age as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I feel like.
He's going to be 80.
It's going to be weird,
yeah.
Weird to see him as an action star. And, I mean, not to say, as we'll talk about later with this movie, I mean, 80-year-olds can be total badasses.
Right.
But I don't know. It's going to be a little weird seeing an octogenarian fighting some Nazis or whatever.
Yeah, that's...
or aliens or whatever they throw at him this time.
I almost feel like they're going to need to do something where maybe they have just like an old Indiana Jones start telling the story and then have somebody younger playing.
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, God.
No. I mean, maybe they'll have him in like the Sean Connery kind of role and have.
See, that could work, but they can't bring Shia LaBeouf back.
No, absolutely not.
No. Okay, so this week we kind of did a little backtracking on something that we haven't seen yet that has been out for a little while now.
Yeah, well, hadn't. We've seen it now.
Correct.
We've both seen it. Don't worry. We're not going to talk about something we don't know about.
He's lying. We're making all this up. We just read the Cliff Notes. So the documentary RBJ.
RBG. Well, funny story. I did watch. So other than documentaries, the other thing I like to guilty watch is political dramas. And there was the Woody Harrelson LBJ movie from last year.
Oh, yeah.
That came out that everyone forgot. So I watched that last week. So you just mashed up both of the most recent movies I watched.
There you go.
There you go.
It was all on purpose. Marking her 25th year on the U.S. Supreme Court, RBG is a revolutionary documentary exploring Ruth Bader Ginsburg's exceptional life and career. Would you say that sums it up?
Yeah. It follows her life before she was on the Supreme Court, and then probably even a little bit more of the before she was on the Supreme Court than her time on the court.
Yeah.
I don't even think we need to do any kind of spoiler warnings or anything for this one. We can just dive right in.
Yeah.
But when we were talking about what movie to review this week, there weren't any really big releases that we were too excited about, but there was some big news last week,
right,
with Justice Anthony Kennedy announcing his retirement. So when we were talking about what to do this week, I and Mike thought it would be very timely to talk about this movie, seeing as there's been a lot of talk about Justice Kennedy, and I honestly think that there should be more talk about Justice Ginsburg, because she is arguably a more important justice for our cause.
Right. And to be fair, too, we've both kind of talked about wanting to see this.
Oh, yeah.
Whether we were going to talk about it on here or not. So
I fully intended to watch this movie at some point.
Yeah. Sure. So it kind of gave us that little push to make sure we got out and see it before it was out of theaters
too. Yeah, so by the time you listen to this episode, it fully might be out of theaters. So
true.
Sorry about that, but I do think this is a really important movie to talk about, considering the moment we're in right now, as the Supreme Court itself is shifting significantly. And fair warning, this is probably going to be more of a political talk podcast than you're used to. So if you're really sick of politics and hearing about just all this stuff going on, this might be a rougher episode for you. But I think it's really, really important to talk about this stuff.
Agreed. So what were your initial thoughts then?
Well, like we said, I was really excited to see this movie. I love Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She is such an important figure in our country. And after watching this movie, I think I appreciate even more how important she has been and continues to be and will be for, geez, however long she can stay on the court. One thing I did not expect going into this movie that happened for me is I got teared up quite a bit at several points in the movie, both thinking about, the romance between her and her husband was super sweet.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, the way they portrayed their romance was just incredible and really moving. But also thinking about what she has done for women, for all kinds of traditionally oppressed groups, and how, especially in more recent years, as the court has taken a more conservative turn, she has really rallied to be a voice on behalf of those who maybe are more silenced by our current government.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting how throughout the documentary, they kind of showed almost like on a sliding scale where she...
Not almost, literally on a sliding scale. Yeah, literally
was a sliding scale. Where if the court was a little bit heavy on liberal, she was willing to kind of be that... what's the word I'm looking for?
It's she sought to bring balance to the court.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So when the court leaned a little bit more, I don't want to say leaned liberal, but was certainly more liberal or progressive than it is now, she sought to be a more moderate presence.
Yeah, moderate.
That's whereas as the court has shifted since the mid 2000s to be a little more conservative, not I would say a good deal more conservative.
Right.
She has, you know, been a very reliable liberal progressive voice on the bench.
Yeah. I loved seeing how much she had done before getting onto the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I was not aware of just what an impact she made.
Same.
In that time frame.
Or even like, I mean, the, of, all three branches of government, I feel like we get the least insight into the lives of the judicial branch and the Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
Because once they get on the court, there's a lot of just because of their lifetime appointment and because of kind of the political norms of the Supreme Court, they say the least. You don't see them on these, you know, Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or any of these shows, typically.
Right.
They'll go and talk at, you know, a lecture or something, or give some more personal interviews, but they don't go and just they don't advocate for positions, except maybe in their opinions or dissents on a particular case. They don't traditionally weigh in on any kind of political fights. They are less seen than members of Congress or members of the executive branch. So it was interesting to get that insight into her entire life leading up to and including her time on the court.
Yeah, her journey just to get into law school and to practice law was amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool to see her. I mean, she's, 84, 85 years old now?
Something like that, yeah.
She was born in the early 30s. So to put into context just what the reality was like for such a smart, brilliant woman coming of age in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. I mean, that was such a different time for gender equality.
Right.
We're certainly not there now, but she even makes mention in the movie, you know, we're living in a very difficult time right now in terms of civil rights, but imagine where we've been before.
Right, right.
I think that's why she's able to have, even now, such a positive outlook, is because she has seen the progress that has happened over decades. And there's always been setbacks, even as we progress forward. And I don't know, maybe this movie helps put that into perspective a little bit.
Like, I can remember seeing stuff about the Virginia Military Institute.
Yeah.
When that was happening, and I had no idea that she had any involvement in that.
Yeah, that was her first big case.
Yeah,
that dealt with gender equality when she was a Supreme Court justice. I thought choosing that case to focus so much on was really cool, because it comes full circle when it shows the footage of her last year at the VMI. Speaking.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see that come full circle, but also just the juxtaposition. I loved how they showed the footage of the cadets at the VMI. I mean, I literally, when they were like, so Ted Olson, who was the lawyer who represented the state of Virginia, in this case where the state of Virginia was arguing for excluding women from VMI, and the Justice Department under President Clinton was suing the state of Virginia for that. If you haven't seen the movie, that's the deal. Uh-huh. But that scene where they were showing these guys in this super hyper masculine environment, and Ted Olson is talking about how that environment is good for men to develop, I literally was rolling my eyes.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was such a great juxtaposition that this movie showed that strength is not tied to a gender or physical strength. Like, she comes out of this movie looking like such a strong human being, like probably just one of the strongest human beings that has ever served in our government. I feel like she comes across as,
yeah,
rightfully so. And I thought that juxtaposition of showing all that and then what the rest of this movie was really, it touched me and moved me a lot.
I loved the inclusion of interviews with her friends.
Yeah.
Just that humanizing too of this person that, not to not know her, she's, you know, this, as you said, a superhero in a way, you know, like, I loved hearing the stories directly from people that know her, and just, like I said, humanizing her for us.
Yeah. But what I loved about that was, again, a lot of times when we think of strong women or heroic women, we think of women who are fighters, women who are very aggressive, women who are marching in the streets in these, you know, resistance protests.
And they even made it a point to say that she wasn't a marcher.
Exactly. Like, she exhibited these qualities. She's so great and so heroic, not because she's out in the streets doing this stuff, but because she's using, at one point she even says, I needed to use my strengths. I am not a great opera singer. That is not what I was meant to do. She knows she has a great legal mind, and she used her work ethic and her brilliance when it came to law to make positive change. Mm-hmm. She didn't need to be the most outspoken person. I mean, they even said she wasn't the most outspoken person in meetings or the most, you know,
even when approached to, you know, when, I don't want to say campaigning, but
it is, it's campaigning to get on the Supreme Court. She wasn't the one, she wasn't going for it.
Yeah.
She wasn't the one pushing it. It was her husband who was making all these calls, not because he's the man and she's the woman, but because he believed in her so much.
Right.
And he would have been so upset and was such a great partner to her that he he knew, he, I think he said he knew that she wouldn't toot her own horn, so he played the New York Philharmonic.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that line. That was awesome. That was great. But yeah, that the relationship between her and her husband was, that thread throughout the movie was so beautiful and so great.
Yeah, it was, and you could kind of tell because they didn't have any interviews with him. Obviously, you're going to find out that he had passed away.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. You know, a lesser, I don't want to say a lesser person, that's not fair, but maybe somebody with less resolve may have, at that age, after losing their lifelong partner like that, may have decided it was time to take a break, or, you know,
yeah. And
she pressed on.
Yeah. I think it was very clear from the movie that she is somebody who takes pride in the work that she does. And beyond that, her husband and her family take a great deal of pride in the work that she has done. So I personally am very grateful that she has chosen to continue that legacy. Although, I mean, they didn't address this at all in the movie, but I can't help but wonder if she regrets, they kind of talked about it, but I wonder if she regrets not retiring under Obama and letting him pick her successor.
Well, I was actually just gonna say that, because they did kind of touch on it just a tad, just a little bit. You know, where she says, as long as I can keep doing this job, I'm going to keep doing this job.
But I feel like there was part of her where we all expected that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president.
Yeah.
I bet she did too. And these Supreme Court justices do think a lot about who replaces them. And I bet she just had both, okay, the person who is married to the president who appointed me and the first woman president.
Right. She probably wanted to be able to serve under her.
Right. Or at least be replaced by the first woman president.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very poetic in how that would have played out. I bet if she knew then that Donald Trump would be president, she would have retired years ago.
Yeah. And I think she's going to do everything in her power to keep herself as healthy as, I mean, she's already,
I send her multivitamins every day, Mike, with, I inscribe on them little motivational quotes. Hang in there, kitty. You know, things like that.
You got this.
I believe in you.
Yeah. She's got to make it the next couple years.
I know. But that's the thing. She seems to be in remarkably great health for someone in their mid 80s who has not a very laid back kind of job. I mean, and that's another thing that amazes me, is that any of these folks who are in their 70s and 80s have the capacity to keep up this kind of work the way that she does. I mean, that is truly amazing, because there are times I'm in my early 30s where I just feel exhausted. and then I saw this movie today and I was like, well, shit. I should never sleep ever.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that this movie did for me too was it gave me actually a little bit of hope going forward in this country, because when they started talking about, you know, her coming, her, you know, as a child in the Depression era and the civil rights movement and women's lib, and I'm like, this country has been through a lot of shit before.
Yeah.
And has come out better. There's always the next problem that needs to get taken care of, it seems, but
we got quite a few of them right now.
We've got quite a few of them right now, but it did give me hope that we'll have another period of time sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I just worry, because we're at a time where it seems like intelligence and intellectual rigor and curiosity are not being valued in the body politic as much as I wish it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the part of this movie that really hit me in that respect was when they were talking about the friendship between Justice Ginsburg and Justice Scalia.
Right.
So Justice Scalia, let's be honest, was truly a monster when it came to the kinds of decisions and views that he had about the Constitution. But one thing you can't say about Justice Scalia was that he was emotionally unstable or intellectually lazy.
Right.
He was a very smart man, and the two of them became great friends because they had mutual respect and understood that even though philosophically they were on the polar opposite sides of almost every decision, that they still knew that the other one was smart, intelligent, capable. And at the end of the day, I mean, Justice Scalia was probably a kind person, a kind human who may have been really, you know, fun to hang out with for her. And they were able to look past those differences and have a really great friendship. And I just don't feel like that happens anymore.
Yeah.
We spend so much time trying to paint the opposite side of us as evil and as just not different from us, but trying to destroy this country and everything we love.
Yeah.
And that's just not
well, and that's certainly gotten worse too.
Yeah, it's not productive, and we need to get back to a place where, regardless of our political beliefs, we respect people who are intelligent and who work really hard and who have accomplished a great deal on their own merits and hard work. And if we got back to something like that, where we as a society valued those things, we would not have Donald Trump being president.
Yeah.
'Cause he is not any of those things. And there are lots of conservatives who are. I'm not saying that every conservative is that way. I may philosophically disagree with conservatives, but I know many conservatives who are smart, brilliant, compassionate, wonderful people who just happen to see the world very differently from me. And that is not the way our current president is, or any... Really, I don't believe anyone in the government supporting or going along with what he does.
Right. Yeah, it's... it's just... It's a very sad state right now.
Very. and, I mean, even to see, you know, I voted... My first vote for president ever was for Barack Obama. It's the first time I was old enough to vote. In 2008, and even though I very much was excited about that vote, I think John McCain is a great American who loves his country, who is super smart, who wants to leave the leave this place better than it was how he found it. And you know, he's fighting a terminal illness right now and is, you know,
right,
coping with that, but he's one of those people that's just really smart and intelligent and clearly loves the country, and we don't have a lot of that going on in Washington right now.
Right. Yeah. Even when Trump was running and Kasich was running against him, Kasich's the governor of Ohio. So we kind of hear a lot about what he's up to. I'm not a huge fan of Kasich, but I would have preferred him over Trump, because
that's a bold statement, Mike.
I mean, if you listen to Kasich and how much he opposes Trump,
yeah.
Yeah, I just, I mean, I guess in, you could almost say I'd prefer anybody over Trump, but those could be
right
dangerous now, words, too.
Speaking of Trump, there was a part in the movie where even some of the people who were very complimentary of Justice Ginsburg said she messed up where she criticized Trump. What did you think of that?
I think that they have a point. You know, somebody in that position, one of the people commenting had said something about, you know, people may think that what she's saying, if opposing the president or something like that, might be just because she doesn't like him. I don't believe that she would ever do that, but I could see where that just puts that negative spin in people's minds that might have something against her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. She shouldn't have said it, but, right. But here's the deal. Yeah. One, when you get in your 80s, I think there should be a law that you can say whatever the hell you want to say and no one can do anything about it because you're just, you've made it that long.
Right.
Just, I mean, if I have to listen to, you know, all these racist old people say their stupid shit, I should get to listen to some, you know, very nice people who I agree with who are older get to say some shit too. So there's that. And two, I mean, like I said earlier, I think she really was counting on Hillary to be president so that she could retire. And I think she's rightfully bitter about the fact that she has to stay in this job. She probably wants to quit.
Yeah.
Because if she leaves this job, then we're all screwed. Like she knows that.
She's ready to just be Justice Bubby.
Yeah. That was so cute.
Wasn't
I loved
it?
That. I loved the family dynamic. I mean, just seeing her and her with, I love that they did put so much focus on her personal life again, because I think it was valuable for a lot of people out there. I think there is this notion that you have to be super strong-willed, super vocal, super extroverted to be heroic or a change maker or anything like that. And they made a point to paint her. I mean, it's her, right. But to say she is a more reserved, she doesn't make a lot of small talk. She's not the most extroverted person. But she still has made such a difference. And I know a lot of introverts who probably appreciate seeing someone like that portrayed this way.
Yeah. Speaking of introverts, you know that Pete, my husband, is a lawyer and that he loves Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We've talked about that.
Yeah. Did he go to the movie with you?
No. And so that is what I was going to say. I wish that we could have worked that out for him to come see that with me.
Yeah.
I think he would have loved this movie.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely got to see it.
Yeah. So we'll end up seeing it together later. But there were just a couple times during the movie where she'd say something or they'd say something about her, and it would make me think of him, and I was just bummed that he wasn't there seeing it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to hear his thoughts on it, from a legal perspective,
yeah.
But just from a filmmaking perspective, I thought the filmmakers did a really good job of laying out the story in a way that progressed very well. I thought it was great that they started. I mean, the first line of the movie, the first words you hear was something along the lines of, she's a witch.
Yeah.
And they just played audio clips of people criticizing Justice Ginsburg.
Yeah.
And saying how she's tearing this country apart, how she's a terrible person, all these kinds of things. I thought that was an interesting way to start the movie, to just get all that out the way and then focus the rest of the movie on her. I mean, with the exception of the criticism of her speaking out against Trump, I don't think there was really anything else. They didn't focus on any other negative criticisms of her.
Well, it was kind of funny too, because wasn't Orrin Hatch one of the people that
he was,
but then
the Republican senator.
Yeah. But then he also comes around and says, but I have respect for you.
Gosh, I wish our government could work that like that again.
Right.
And I know that they do too. Like all these old politicians who have been around forever who in that same vein. I mean, when they showed that clip of Senator Hatch at Justice Ginsburg confirmation hearing, and he said, "I disagree with just about everything you fight for, but you are so smart and so qualified and you're going to be a great justice."
Yeah. He's like, "You deserve this.
You deserve this."
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we had that again. Instead, we have Mitch McConnell refusing to let a president, President Obama, name a Supreme Court justice for purely political reasons. I mean, we've just descended so far from where we were politically, and it's just tragic that we're in this place now.
I agree.
It really is. It's so sad. And now we're getting ready to have another super conservative asshole named to the Supreme Court. Probably going to be a white dude, or even worse, another like Clarence Thomas or someone who will like just be named in the name of diversity, but mm-hmm. work to destroy anything that helps any oppressed group. That would even be more terrible to have like Jean Pereira or whatever her name is on Fox News named to the Supreme Court so that Trump can say, "Yeah, I love women. I nominated a woman." And she is the person who helps overturn Roe v. Wade or something crazy like that. Like, I'm just very saddened. So it was nice to see a movie where we got to be reminded that there are great people still in the world.
I think they should nominate Judge Judy.
I mean, obviously they should.
Right?
I mean, Trump does whatever the TV tells him to. Someone just needs to sneak into the residence and change the channel.
See, that's what I just think. If we can have a reality TV host as president, we should have a reality TV judge in the Supreme Court.
I think that may actually be Trump's speech whenever he nominates. Unfortunately, I think it's more likely to be Jean's, I don't even, Pirro or whatever her last name is, than Judge Judy. But, damn it. So, yeah. That's all my thoughts on this one. Do you have any more?
No, I was just going to say, besides the family, too, I loved, hearing Clinton,
speak. And, yeah.
It was interesting to hear his process on how she wasn't his first choice and in fact wanted somebody else, but they said no.
Yeah.
I mean, how lucky are we for that move?
Well, and I didn't realize that. I mean, so the goal that a lot of presidents have when they name a Supreme Court justice is to name someone who is younger. So typically in their 40s or 50s, so that person can then serve. I mean, that is the longest lasting legacy a lot of presidents have, because if you name someone in their 40s or 50s, they may be on the court for, I mean, Justice Kennedy is just now retiring after about 30 years on the court. And he was named by what was it, Bush or Reagan? One of those. So your legacy can live on for a very long time through this person that you name. And Clinton named someone who was in her early 60s at the time.
Already, yeah.
I mean, that's wild. But I mean, we're all very lucky that he did.
Absolutely.
And that she has stuck to it for so long, because she has been a very important voice that we would be worse off as a country if we did not have her in her role.
So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Given the nature of this documentary, I had one hell of a time coming up with any kind of takes on what we would normally do on with a Hollywood movie.
Yeah. Sure.
Were you able to come up with some takes?
I got some.
All right, let's go over yours then.
Okay.
So what is your gayest take?
I mean, my gayest take is the relationship between Justice Ginsburg and her husband Marty was so adorable, and you know, I'm very single. And I was just watching, just looking at that, just.
So this is a gayest take as in happiest take.
I know, like, well, I just want that kind of, I want a man who loves me the way Marty loves her. Actually, I feel like I would be the Marty in a relationship. I feel like I would be the jokester who would be supporting my partner, like, through whatever he was going through and doing. I want the Ruth to my Marty.
Aww.
Because that was so sweet. I was just, I loved how this film portrayed their relationship. And in the interviews where, oh my gosh, when they read the letter that he left her when he was dying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's when the tears were coming the most for me. So I know this isn't as fun as my gayest takes usually are, but yeah, that got me.
Did that letter imply that he took his own life?
No, that he just knew he was at the end. And, you know, a lot of people when they're fighting an illness or a cancer or whatever will stop treatments and things like that. Gotcha. Because they're okay. Just, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it's just so hard.
Yeah.
I say, like, that as if I know. But I know. Like,
no, I mean.
You know what I mean? Like,
most of us know somebody who's gone through it or know somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah. And that's what I got the impression of. Not that he ended his life, but that maybe he chose to stop treatment or just was kind of ready.
That makes sense. What about a shadiest take?
I kind of have a couple. One that I wrote down and one that I just thought of.
Okay.
So the one that I just thought of, there was this fly or some kind of insect that kept like flying around the screen of the movie, and then like would fly on the screen and then would also fly like on the projector, and so there'd be this little shadow. Did that happen for you too? Why are you looking at me like that?
Because it did. It must have been in the movie.
No way. That's not. No, because I actually saw a fly like fly in front of me too. Like it was no way. Stop.
I swear to God. I swear to God.
Maybe it just lives in that theater in the gateway.
Maybe.
Probably.
But yeah, it was.
That happened for you too?
I saw it.
There's no way that's part of the movie.
It was driving me crazy.
Drove me crazy too. So that's one of my shadiest takes. But the other one, I want to hear your thoughts on this. So they did focus a lot on, obviously, on Justice Ginsburg's work with promoting a lot of feminist causes. They talked a little bit about race as well. They didn't make much mention at all of LGBT cases or anything. And I know that for a lot of the gay rights cases that have come before the Supreme Court, I know Justice Kennedy has written a lot of the opinions for those.
Yeah.
I know they focus more on the cases where she wrote either the dissenting opinion or the majority opinion. But what did you think of that? Did you think much of the fact that they didn't really mention any of the cases for LGBT rights?
You know, maybe I should have, but I didn't.
Once, I thought about it, and you didn't. You're always talking about how you wish there was more gay stuff in movies. And this time...
No, I guess it that didn't really, or I guess it didn't bother me. But now that you mention it, though, yeah, I can see your point there. I mean,
it just surprised me. I'm
it's not like she wasn't involved in any.
Obviously,
of them.
She voted in the right way in all of those cases. Right. I just thought it was interesting that the film did make a point of painting her as a civil rights activist and civil rights proponent.
Yeah.
But did not talk at all about any of her votes or anything for expanding LGBT rights.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting choice. Maybe for time purposes, maybe because she wasn't the opinion writer for a lot of those cases, but I don't know.
Oh, I just thought of a gayest take.
What's your gayest take, Mike?
Scalia dressed up to do opera.
You like that?
Ginsburg doing opera herself and having...
Oh, I did love Ginsburg's opera reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you notice in there too? There was actually a little bit of a Trump.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was awesome too. It wasn't. It was not very subtle.
It was not very subtle. But okay, sorry. Who slayed?
I mean, Justice Ginsburg. Come on. The whole movie's about her.
And right.
This
isn't the kind of movie where you find like the side character that really kicked ass.
I mean, the only one who I would say surprised me was her husband. I mean,
yeah,
his characterization in the movie was great. The clips they chose to play of him, the way he was portrayed, was very endearing and lovely and moving, and I truly love that. But I mean, come on,
right?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It's Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Easily, she was so great. So, I just love that this movie exists to shine a light on. I'm glad they made this movie while she was still alive, is what I'll say.
Right.
That she could be involved in it, and she can see it, and I'm sure it means a lot to her, and she deserves that.
I loved her watching the SNL clips.
Oh my gosh, that was so great. So great. And her sense of humor about it. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the way she's portrayed on SNL is very positive.
Yeah.
Over the top and positive. But I also loved how both she and her children were like, that is not at all how she is.
You got Ginsburned.
Have you watched those?
No.
They're great. Kate McKinnon does such a great job with that. But yeah, watching her watch it was everything I've ever wanted.
Yeah, it was priceless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, I'm glad that they made this while she was alive. Yeah. Her being involved in it and just,
she's so great.
I'm getting verklempt.
Yeah. I mean, even just her sense of humor about herself and just her sense of humor in general.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed
that. I loved her working out too.
Oh yeah. There's so I love Stephen Colbert's show, his late show on CBS. And he did a bit where he went and worked out with her.
Oh, really?
And her trainer.
Okay.
That you see in the movie. And it's really funny. You should look it up. It's really good.
I'll have to do that.
But even things like that, the way she gives access to, there's so many people who would not let you watch them like work out.
Right.
And she's so open about it and does it. And
I loved her friends. She's down there doing push-ups. I can't even get on the ground.
Right. I mean, just her perspective on life was so refreshing. And I that's another reason I'm glad that they did this movie while she's still alive, is we get so much of her and her perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that enriches the movie and makes it even better. I'm really glad they chose this moment to do this movie about her.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So she slayed. Duh.
Duh. Would you say there's a no man?
Yeah. So I'm going to give my no man to someone who really wasn't featured much in the movie at all. And that is Justice Kennedy, because we have spent an entire week having to listen about him. And really, I'm very grateful that he was the vote, the swing vote that expanded gay rights in many cases. And I will say every year on June 25th, I share a post that I shared on June 25th, 2015, that was the final paragraph of his opinion in the Obergefell case. And it is the most moving, beautiful thing. If I ever get married, it'll probably be read at my at my wedding. However, beyond those gay rights cases and beyond some reproductive rights cases, he has been a very conservative justice. Uh-huh. He has done a lot to promote, a lot more to promote conservative causes than progressive causes. So he is a moderate in a very, if you're using that term very loosely, I mean,
he's a moderate.
That's kind of like calling Dick Cheney or Rob Portman moderates. Cause even though they are conservative in just about everything they do, they like gay people because they know one gay person.
Right. Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Rob Portman only supports gay rights because he has a gay son who's super hot.
And he absolutely didn't support any of them until he found out that his
son was gay. Same with Dick Cheney and his daughter. You know, I feel like if we got to know Justice Kennedy a little bit, I'm sure there's some gay person in his life who,
you're probably right,
who made him feel that way. And that's the thing that gets me about conservatives a lot, is they have no empathy and for any oppressed group unless they are very close with someone in that group. And usually it has to be someone they're related to. And I know that's a very general statement. No, I should not say that, but I would not be shocked if we found out that Justice Kennedy had like a gay son or a gay daughter or something like that.
Nephew or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why he votes the way he does. But that's my no, ma'am, is we have put so much attention on him, and we need to put more attention on the justices who are actually doing hard work to promote and expand the rights of people, like Justice Ginsburg and like Justice Sotomayor and Justice Kagan. And I loved when Justice Ginsburg in this movie said that the ideal number of women on the Supreme Court should be 9.
Yes, that was awesome.
Because we've tried 9 men for a very, very, very long time. I tried 9 men once. jokes, mostly. I love that. So yeah, I think we need, let's mourn Kennedy leaving a little less. You know, the person that Trump is going to replace him with is certainly going to be terrible.
Let's hope that they know somebody gay
and worse than him. Right. Let's, you know, let's hope. But but yeah, that's my no, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm tired of hearing about Justice Kennedy. I'm very appreciative of some of the things he did, but he did far more harm than good. I will say that.
So farewell.
Yeah, fare thee well.
Fare thee well.
Enjoy your retirement. And your legacy will forever, in addition to giving us some rights, but will more be that you let the court go in a conservative, terrible direction. Ruth is holding out. Look at her.
Right.
Ruth is holding out, and you can't. So enjoy your retirement.
You know, I've seen the statistics on our podcast, and I know that there are some people outside of the United States that listen. If anybody would actually leave a comment, I would love to hear what one of our listeners from outside of the United States thinks about what's going on in our government.
Ugh. I'm going to Paris in a month. I may not come back. But I'm sure I'll get quite an earful about what they think of our country when I'm over there.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and give this a rating.
Okay.
I'm going to be respectful and not say, let's rate this bitch.
Except you said it. You're not going to say what you just said. Cool.
Exactly.
Great.
What did you rate this movie?
You know, I've only given, I looked back, I've only given 3 4 reels so far, and it is 4 now. I'm giving this one 4 reels. I love this movie. Any movie that gets me on the verge of tears. Only 2 movies have done that this year. This one and obviously Wrinkle in Time, because I was so sad I had to watch it. No, this one and Love, Simon. And any movie that gets me on the verge of tears is truly doing a great job, because I have no emotions or heart or soul. So I just thought it was, not just because I love Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but also because I thought the movie was told in a very good way. I thought it was a great narrative. I loved the choices they made of, instead of having like a narrator take us through the story, having Justice Ginsburg, her friends, people who know her, people like President Clinton and other people, Senator Hatch, who were part of this journey, taking us through the story. So I thought the decisions the documentarians made this movie better than it could have been, and take it to an even greater. I can't think of how this movie is better. So 4 reels for me. This is great.
Awesome. I'm going 3.5.
Okay.
And the only reason why it's not a 4 is because I enjoy documentaries, but for me, they often don't have rewatchability. Like, I feel like once I've seen it, like, I'll end up seeing this one again, 'cause I want to see it with Pete.
Right.
But I don't rewatch documentaries like I do movies. So oftentimes my score kind of is based on my rewatchability factor.
I don't know. I feel like when two things happen,
okay,
they might happen at the same time. When she retires and when she passes away, I feel like I'm going to watch this movie again.
Okay, that's fair. That might happen.
Hopefully, they don't happen at the same time. Hopefully, she gets to retire on her own terms when there is a president who is not our current president.
Yeah.
But yeah, when those things happen, I bet I'll go back and revisit this movie for sure.
Well, maybe I'll do that. But hopefully, that's a long time, so I'm not going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold out, Ruth.
Hold out.
Take your vitamins, girl. Do those stretches.
All right. So do you have a recommendation for the week?
You know, I have two recommendations I'm going to give out. They're kind of... one is slightly a repeat of a recommendation I've given before. Okay. And one is kind of a mini recommendation. So I'm going to kind of combine them.
Gotcha.
Not combine them. Just... I'm doing two. People... Okay. Deal with it.
Deal with
okay,
it.
So one of my recommendations. So I know I've already recommended the show, but season two just came out on Netflix. I have already binged all of it, but it is Nailed It, the baking show.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. Season two came out this past weekend. Nicole Byer, as our listeners know, I'm a big fan. She is so funny, so great. And they actually so. Both seasons are six episodes, but they did a bonus seventh episode for season two.
A bonus?
Yes. You'll like this, Mike. It was a crossover episode where they had... It was a mini episode, so it was about half the length of a typical episode. But they had the Queer Eye guys come on.
What?
Yeah, and they did a little competition. And it was adorable. It was great. I loved it so much. So I definitely recommend Nailed It season two and the bonus seventh episode with the Queer Eye guys. That was a lot of fun. I know you love the new Queer Eye.
I do.
Yeah. So anyone who loves Queer Eye should definitely check out that bonus episode of Nailed It. I think you'll really enjoy it. My other recommendation. So do you know who Leslie Jones is?
Yes.
Yeah. From Saturday Night Live.
Ghostbusters.
And we don't talk about that. I'm so glad we didn't review movies back then. But I think Leslie Jones is really funny. I think she's definitely one of those people that people either love or hate. I love her. I think she's great. And right now she is going back. She is catching up on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
And she is posting like her reactions in real time to things that are going on her Instagram. And it is so amusing and so funny. She is in the middle of season six right now, which is four seasons behind. And I just love watching her. One, it's taking me back to like previous seasons of RuPaul, right, and reminding me of things that I loved about the show. But two, combining her awesomeness and hilarity with commenting on Drag Race. I will pull it up and just watch videos of her reacting to shows as she's watching them.
Maybe I should watch that just so I can get an insight into Drag Race.
It actually is a pretty good recap, yeah, of everything that's happened in previous seasons.
Did you see when she would do Game of Thrones recaps?
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, no. So she's done those too.
She should. I mean, I feel like she should get a deal where she does that almost like Mystery Science Theater style, where, yeah, she is just commenting on shows as they happen, like Drag Race and everything. I mean, VH1 should reach out to her and get that going.
That'd be cool.
It would be, but yeah. Leslie Jones' Instagram recaps of previous RuPaul seasons is kind of my everything right now. I love it. It's so good. So that's those are my recommendations.
Nice. Mike. So I'm going to give I'm going to go ahead and do two also. Only had one, but I'm going to do a soft recommendation.
And then a very hard one.
No, just to kind of echo you, I am going to say season two of Queer Eye.
I thought you already recommended that.
No. Did I?
I think you did.
No, that was season one.
No, you recommended season two.
No, it wasn't. It was season one because I was talking about the old guy in the first episode.
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
I think you recommended season two as well. Listen to the tapes.
No, because
we got receipts.
Listen, season two just dropped.
Yeah, you recommended it like a couple weeks ago, I thought. Oh, I may be wrong. You may be right.
I absolutely think you're wrong.
It's a good recommendation. It's good enough to have it twice, I think.
Right? Season two, twice. But here's what's going to get you.
Oh, what's going to get me? Give me the give me your hard recommend, Mike.
I'm recommending a podcast.
Judas. Et tu, Brute.
I know. I got on you so many times about this, huh? but I have been listening to this podcast for probably, I don't know, maybe even a couple years now. And I just love it. Can you guess what the subject matter is on this podcast?
Bears.
No.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's called the Force Center Podcast. And there's three people who do this show, and their names are Joseph Scrimshaw, Ken Knapsack, and Jennifer Landa. And
how did you remember the two names that were full tongue twisters but couldn't remember Jennifer Landa? Jennifer, it's well documented on the show, Mike hates women, all women. He only gave Ruth Bader Ginsburg's documentary a 3.5.
Jennifer and I have a mutual love of porgs. So,
hey, I love porgs.
it's a really fun show. They do a lot of news stuff, but they also do these things called data bank brawls, where they'll go on to StarWars.com and like the list of all the characters and creatures that are officially canon, and they'll do these stories where they'll pit them against each other, and it's hilarious. It's really fun. If you're a Star Wars fan, I recommend it. It's the Force Center Podcast. And there you go.
How many episodes do they do a week?
Sometimes two or three, even
like right now when we're a full year and a half from the next Star Wars movie.
Oh yeah, they're talking about Star Wars is going to be present at Comic-Con, and you've got the news about the TV show and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, yeah, there is a lot to talk about. You're right.
I mean, I could interject Star Wars into our show every week.
Could. If I... You could. Yeah, that would certainly be a strange departure from our typical MO.
Okay, Miss Drag Race.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last episode.
Now, if they did like a Star Wars episode of Drag Race, you and I would be very happy, happy, happy place.
We really would, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find out if we know anybody
who has been on Drag Race recently. Who may be from Columbus.
Who might be able to.
I don't know if she was on last season. Did you hear she broke her foot? How are you going to be on Drag Race with a broken foot?
All right. So, if you haven't already become a real friend, follow us on Twitter at Real Gay and Instagram at Real Gay Movie Show. Like our page on Facebook. Also, wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, YouTube, now Spotify, please subscribe, give us some feedback. You can also reach us at realgaymovieshow@gmail.com. So that is it from Ryan, myself, and the wonderful Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Have a real gay day.
And take your vitamins, Ruth.